Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Lamed Daled, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Daled Omer Aleph, six lines from the top. Tan Rabbon. Tan Rabbon is Shor Shav Masayim Shnogach Shor Shav Masayim. If the animal who was mazik was worth $200, that damaged an animal that was worth $200. For Chavaba. The damage it inflicted was worth $50. However, now the shavach for Omar al Arba Mezuz, the value of the animal that was injured goes up to $400. However, imale hizikoy, had it not damaged this animal, hoya oimid al shmoyne mezuz, its value would have gone up to $800. So the question is, how do we evaluate? How do we assess the damage? Teaches us the Braisa, Nois and Kishas and Nezek. We assess it at the loss at the time of the damage. And as the Rashi and the Rishonim explain, that the Mazik, what the Braisa is teaching us is, that the Mazik cannot tell the Nezek, you didn't incur a loss anyway, because your animal went up ultimately to $400, teaches us the Braisa that's not the case. He has to pay according to what happened by the damage. That's how Rashi and most Rishonim explain the Gemara. There is another explanation that Rashi suggests, and Tosfos also suggests it, but both Rashi and Tosfos reject that pshat. What the Gemara is saying is that we look at the actual damage, and we don't say that perhaps this animal, if it would have not been damaged, or anything would have increased in value. We don't look at things that way. And the reason the Rishonim reject that pshat is because, if so, for example, Tosfos says, if an animal would damage a calf, can we suggest that it should have to pay the value of a cow because that's what it ultimately would have grown to? Of course not. We look at the damage as the damage is. And that's exactly what the Brice is teaching us. The Brice is teaching us is that the Mazik cannot tell the Nizik, since you ultimately recouped your loss, you have no claim to me. You look Shas HaNezik. However, Kochash, if the animal goes down in value, if the Nizik deteriorates from when the damage actually occurred until the actual dentira takes place, there we evaluate it kishas hamod b'din, and the Gemara will explain why. Shavach mazik, if on the other hand the value of the mazik goes up, noisim like kishas hanezik, we still evaluate the mazik's value at the value it had when it actually did the damage. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, we began with an animal who's a mazik that was worth $200. The damage it did, we said, was $50. And since it's a tam pays chatzi nezek, so the damages it has to pay are $25. $25 represent an eighth of $200. So if now the mazik goes up to $400, the Brice is teaching us that the nizik cannot tell the mazik, you owe me an eighth of the value of your animal. And since the value of your animal went now up to $400, you should have to pay me $50. Rather, he only pays him the $25, which was what was assessed at the time of the nezek. However, kachash, if the value of the mazik goes down, there he pays kishas hamod b'din. We do look at that depreciation. And going back to our case, if the animal that did damage is worth $200, and as we explained, the amount of damages it has to pay are $25, which we said represent an eighth of its value. If now that animal, the mazik, goes down in value, and it's only worth $100, an eighth represents $12.50, not $25, and that's all that the mazik would have to pay. He would only have to pay $12.50. Begins the Gemara to analyze the brisa. Omamar, the brisa says, shavak mazik, if the mazik goes up in value, as we just learned, noisin kishasa nezik, the pay according to the value of the mazik at the time it did the damage. Mani, whose opinion does this reflect? The opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. For as the Gemara taught us in the previous year, there's a machloikis of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva how to view the relationship between the mazik and the nizik. Rabbi Shmuel says that it's the relationship of any debt of any bal choyv. The mazik owes the nizik for the damage he did. But in any situation where someone owes someone else money, if his financial status changes, it doesn't change his obligation. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel is saying. The Baal Bal Choyv, the mazik is a person as a creditor to the nizik. Vezuzi hu the mazik, he owes him whatever he owes him. Ask the Gemara if that's indeed the way to understand the Braisa. Ema Sefer, let's continue learning the Braisa. Kachash, that if the mazik's animal goes down in value, there we evaluated kishas hamod bedin. As we explained, it went down from 200 to 100, he would only have to pay $12.50. Ask the Gemara, that obviously follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Also, Rabbi Kiva, and therefore, if the mazik's animal goes down in value, the nizik has to share in that loss. So therefore, ask the Gemara, we have a difficult situation here. Reisha seems to be following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and the Sefer seems to be following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Answers the Gemara, Loi, Kula Rabbi Kiva hi. Actually, the entire Brisa represents the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. When the Brisa said that if the animal goes up in value, then it's only to the mazik's credit, not to the nizik, it's not referring where it went up in value by itself. It went up in value because kishapetmai, the mazik gave it a lot of food to eat, and because the mazik gave it a lot of food to eat, that's why it got more valuable. Says Tosfos that when the Gemara is saying that the mazik gave it extra to eat and it went up in value because of that, it has to be referring to a situation that the increased value of the mazik shor is only equal to the amount of money he spent on giving it food. For if it will be worth more than the amount he invested, and we're following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that the mazik and the nizik are partners in this animal, so for the amount of benefit that accrued past what the mazik spent, that the nizik should be a partner in. That's how Tosfos explains. So therefore Tosfos says that the Braisa is referring specifically to a situation where the extra value is only equal to as much as the mazik put in. However, the Ravid disagrees. For the Ravid explains like this. He says, although normally if we have a situation that there are two partners that own a shor, an ox together, and one partner will invest into the shor more than the other partner, certainly he's entitled to get reimbursed for his expenses. But if the animal goes up in value, that is divided equally between the two partners. Says the Ravid, because in a regular partnership, the partners recognize that we are partners and that anything past the expenses that I put into it should be divided. However, in a situation, says the Ravid, like this, even if we're following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that the mazik and the nizik are considered partners, it's not a regular situation of two individuals who are partners. And therefore, certainly, says the Ravid, halacha would be that if the mazik invested into the shor, and that's why the shor went up in value, he and only he is entitled to the extra value. ask the Gemara if that's the way we're going to understand the Braisa, Ikisha Pitma, if we're going to explain the Braisa that's referring to a case where somebody invested into the shor, a Mareisha, then let's review the Reisha. The Reisha said, Shavach for Ovar Alma Abimezuz, if the carcass, not the, if the animal that was damaged went up to value to 400 Zuz, still, Noisul Abishas HaNezik. The Mazik has to pay the Nizik at what was the case when the actual damage occurred. Ask the Gemara, if our Bryce is referring to a situation that the shor was fattened up, that the shor was invested to, here the Nizik obviously invested into the shor, does the Bryce have to teach us that the Mazik is not entitled if the Nizik invested into the shor? Amara Papa, Reisha, the way to understand the Reisha is Mishkach Slo Bein the Pitma Ptume Bein the Shivcha Memela. It refers to the situation whether he put money into it or whether it happened by itself. V'etzrich L'Shminin, and what the Brice is teaching us, the Hecha the Shivcha Memela, that even though the value of the animal that was injured went up by itself, still, nice and like a shas nezach, he pays him according to the value of the animal, what happened with shas nezach, and the fact that the animal went up in value has nothing to do with the mazik. However, sefer, that the nizik doesn't share in the increased value of the mazik shor, Lemishkachsla will only be referring to a situation Kishapitmai when the Mazik invested, and that's why the shor went up in value, otherwise he's not entitled. So according to this situation, if the shor went up in value by itself, the Nizik will share with the Mazik's profit. Kochash, we learned that if the animal that got damaged went down in value, we evaluated kishas hamona b'din, how much it's worth when the din Torah takes place. Ask the Gemara, kochash machas mai, exactly what happened that the animal went down in value. Elam the kochash machas malocha, if we'll say that it went down in value because the nizik worked with it. So the question is, lemele, certainly the mazik should be able to tell the Nizik, the Mazik should be able to tell the Nizik, at Machish, you made the animal go down in value by working with it, and I should have to share in that. Certainly that doesn't make any sense. Omer of Ashi, what happened here was the Kachish Machish Maka, that it continues deteriorating because of the original injury. Omele, and the Nizik tells the Mazik, Karna the Turach Kvirabe, your axe is buried in my axe. The reason it went down in value is because of your axe, and that's why you have to share in the this cost of the deterioration. Actually, the Meshech Chachma says that the Torah alludes to this din in the pasuk that says, Umaka Nefesh Behema Yishalmena. And the question that the Meshech Chachma asks, why did the Torah have to say, speak about the Nefesh Behema? It should say, B'makish, O'maka Behema Yishalmena. Answers the Meshech Chachma. Because there's a very fundamental difference in halacha where the injured animal was killed versus where the injured animal was injured. In the case of our Gemara, that the injured animal was injured, that the damaged animal was injured, that's where the Nizik could tell the Mazik, if it continues to deteriorate until the time of the Entira, you have to share in that loss. However, if the animal was killed, the halacha is that we evaluate the value of that carcass at the time of Nezek, and that becomes the Nizik, and that becomes the Nizik's. So the Torah is telling us, Machish Nefesh Behema, when the animal was completely killed, Yishalmena, there the Mazik pays the difference. But if it was not a Nefesh Behema, if it wasn't killed, it was just injured, the din would be different. And actually the stipler asks, why should that be the case? Why, if the animal continues to deteriorate, is it the responsibility of the mazik? Isn't this a situation of grumma? It caused, the original injury caused that this should happen. But we know, we've learned that grumma ben azokin is potter. So, says the stipler, what the Gemara is teaching us is that we look at the shas negicha, we look at the ultimate deterioration as if it happened, not later, but that's what happened all at the time of the negicha. And therefore, it's not considered a situation of grumma. However, the Rishonim ask, as we just pointed out, that we're learning that there's a very fundamental difference between when the animal was killed versus when the animal was injured. If the animal was killed, we've learned it then, we're actually going to learn it again in Mitzvah Shem today. The halach is, let's say an animal that's worth $500, that was worth $500, was killed, and now it's worth, the carcass is worth $100, that means the nizik has to, he gets the $100 and the damage is assessed as a $400 damage. Yet by injury we're saying that we don't look at what happened at the moment of the hezik, rather we look at what the value is at the moment of the Torah. Why does the Torah treat these two situations differently? So some Rishonim say that it's Xeris HaKosef, that the Torah says Va'meis Yiloi, that the Torah says that the Nizik takes the value of the animal that got damaged at the time of Nezik. It's Xeris HaKosef and there are no questions. Another explanation that's offered by the Rishonim is that an animal that's killed is certainly not going to go, is not going to be worth anything. The only thing you could do with it is sell it. So since he could, so it becomes, this is the way Tosfos explains, it becomes the Nizik's responsibility to immediately sell it. And if he doesn't immediately sell it, it's his loss if it continues to deteriorate. However, in Al Gemara's case, in the case of an injured animal, we don't expect the Nizik to immediately sell it because he wants to heal it. And in fact, he hopes that he's going to be able to heal it, and if anything, it'll go back up in value, or go back to its value, but not continue to deteriorate. But we can't always figure these things out. And what actually happens is that the animal does go down in value. There we can't expect the, there we have to expect the mazik to share in this responsibility. Another answer given is the answer of the Ravid. The Ravid says that when an animal that's injured goes down in value, it's as our Gemara says, kan de turach kfirbei. It's because of the initial act of the maisa hezek, of the act of damage. However, the animal that goes down in value after it dies, it's not because of the act of hezek that it goes down in value. It goes down in value because it deteriorated. A mazik, says the Ravid, is only responsible to pay for what his maisa hezek caused. His maisa hezek caused that this animal that got injured should continue to get deteriorate. Not if it's not a direct act, not if it's a direct because of his action. And as the Paiskim can point out, this concept that the mazik is only responsible for what he did and not for any other situation that happened goes both ways. It goes as the way we're learning in our Gemara, that the mazik is going to be considered responsible, but it also can refer to some other situations. One situation that I saw that the Paiskim discuss, the Shaul Shachuvas Orlet Sion, discusses a situation where there was an individual who was a coin collector and had two coins. These are the only two coins of this type in the world. And a mazik came and destroyed one of those two coins. The Nizik is claiming to the Mazik, you owe me the value of the coin that you destroyed. The Mazik, on the other hand, says that now the value of the other coin went up considerably, because till now there were two of this type of coin, And now there's only one of this type of coin, which increased the value of that coin. And therefore, I didn't cause you any damage. Says the Shaul Tshuvas Olitzian, that the only time the Mazik is entitled, that if the Nizik's shor goes up in value, if it's because of the value of the shor itself. Here, it's not the coin itself that went up. It's because of a different reason that it went up, because of the other coin's loss, and therefore the Mazik's claim is rejected. The Sma says that in general, the discussions that we're discussing in our Gemara, do we look at the Shas HaNezek or the Shas HaModeh B'Din, only applies to a Shor HaMazik, which is the subject of our Shir. However, in situations of Adam HaMazik, we always follow the Shas HaNezek. And Ramosha uses the concept that the Sma sets forth to answer interesting Shaila. He says there was a situation where an employer let go of one of his employees and offered him a severance package. The employee, having lost his job, goes and looks for another job, and Baruch Hashem, not only is he successful in finding another position, but this new position he has actually is a better paying job than his original job. So the employer, the original employer, comes to his worker and says, I'm not going to give you the severance. Because, if anything, because of me, you ended up in a better place than you ever would have been. If I wouldn't have fired you, you wouldn't have gone to look for another job. Says Reb Moshe, especially based on the concept that the Sma taught us, the severance he's responsible to pay, because so to speak, he was mazikim. He fired him. The fact that that ended up being good, everything in life ends up being good. HaKadosh Baruch only does good for us. That doesn't change the employer's responsibility. Says the Mishnah. And just one word of introduction. The Torah, when it speaks about a short time doing damage, the words of the Torah are, V'kiyigav shor ish shor eyu v'meis, u'machra shor achai v'chatsu es kaspo, v'gamis ameis yechtsun. And the purpose of our Mishnah in Gemara Mitzvah Hashem is to try to explain this pasuk regarding what situation is the pasuk talking to. Says the Mishnah, Shor Shav Masayim, Shonagach Shor Shav Masayim. The animal that did damage is worth $200. That damaged an animal that's worth $200, kills the animal, vein in the valley of a klum, and the carcass is worthless. Amremeya, Azen Nema, says Remeya, this is the subject that the pasuk is speaking to, that the Torah says, Machra Sashara Chai, Fachatsu Es Kaspe. They should divide the shor that's alive. It's worth $200. The damage was $200. We sell this live shor, and half of the proceeds go to the Nezek. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda to Remeya, to Ken Halacha. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the Halacha is as Remeya just said. However, Kiyamti says, you have successfully explained what the Torah says, Umachro Sashara Chai V'chatsu Es Kaspa. However, V'loi Kiyamta, you have not, through your illustration, explained what the Pasuk means with the word V'gam Es Hameis Yechtsun. So that can't be the case that the Torah is speaking to, because you're leaving these words without an explanation. However, V'eza, what is the case that the Torah speaks to? The Torah says, Yehuda speaks to the case of Zer Shor Shav Masayim, Shenagach Shor Shav Masayim. The Mazik was worth $200. The Nizik was worth $200. However, the Nevela, according to Yehuda, is Yofa Chamishim Zuz. That the Aloch is, Shezer Noitel Chatzi Echai V'Chatzi Meis, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mazik is entitled to half of the value of the live Shor, and half of the value of the dead shor, and so too is the nizik's right. Tan Rabbanan. So the Braisa begins by actually almost repeating verbatim what we just learned in our Mishnah. Shor shav masayim shenogach shor shav masayim v'nevel yofa chamishim zos. Zeh noitel chatzi chai v'chatzi ameis v'zeh noitel chatzi chai v'chatzi ameis. The Braisa again repeats how Rabbi Yehuda defines the case that the Torah is speaking to. Remei Omer, Ein Zeh Shor HaOmer B'Torah. That is not the case that the Torah speaks to. Ella, what is the case that the Torah speaks to? Shor Shavu Masayim, Shenogach L'Shor Shavu Masayim. The Mazik is worth $200. The Nizik is worth $200. Vein and Aveli Yofa Klum. And the carcass is worthless. Azen Nemar, Machras Shor HaChai, V'Chotzos Kaspay. We take the live Mazik, that we sell him for the $200 that he's worth, and we divide it half to the mazik, half remaining with the mazik and half going to the nizik. Asks Rabbi Yehuda to Rameya, Ella mani mekayim v'gamas ameis yechtsun. Why will you say that the words v'gamas ameis yechtsun come to teach us? Says Rameya, pachas shepachtsun michsa machsun b'chai. What the pasuk means to tell us is that the loss that was incurred because of the death of the Nizik's animal should be divided by selling the live animal and giving half of its value to the Nizik. The Gam Esameis Yechtsun. How do you get to the Yechtsun? By selling the live animal and giving half of it to the Nizik. Ask the Gemara, Michti, Ben Ramei Ben Rabbi Yehuda, whether we follow the opinion of Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Mei V'Esrim Chamisha Shokel, for Hai Mei V'Esrim Chamisha Shokel. Each one of them is going to end up with $125. So ask the Gemara, Mai Benai, so what's the Nafkmina? Because we started off with each one of them having an animal that was worth $200, and now the Nizik is going to end up in a situation where the damage was where the animal went down to 150, each one of them is going to end up with the same amount. So what's the nafkamina? Answers the Gemara, Omer Rava, Pchas Neveli Kamenayu. The nafkamina between the two of them is what happens if the Nevela goes down in value after the death. Remeya Sover, that the depreciation of the carcass is the responsibility of the nizik. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, that the mazik and the nizik are partners in this nevela, and therefore the mazik has to take half of the loss of the depreciation of the nizik, of the carcass of the nizik. Amar Abaya, asks Abaya, in Kematzina Rav Yehuda, if you're going to follow this approach, that when a tam kills a nizik, and you're saying that the owner of the tam remains responsible for the depreciation of the shor of the nizik, we're going to be stricter. Tam chama memod. We're going to end up in a situation that we're treating a tam stricter than we treat a mood. For as we just said earlier in our shir, the halacha is that when a mood kills an animal, the bailim metaplim benevela, the carcass becomes the nizik's, and the mazik is not a partner in the depreciation of that carcass. Yet here we're saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that when a tam damages the nizik's, kills the nizik's animal, he becomes a partner in its depreciation. V'chi tema, suggests the Gemara Hachinami, that one would say that perhaps we do treat a tam more stringently than we treat a mu'ud, and that there's a precedent for such a concept. Why? Kritnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tam Chayiv Umu'ud Potter. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you did only a Shmira Pechusa, a minimal Shmira, and the animal went and did damage, by a Tam, the owner would be responsible. By a Mu'ud, he would not be responsible. Isn't that a clear indication that a Tam is more chomer than a mu'ud? Answers the Gemara, aim the shamed Rabbi Yehuda, When did Rabbi Yehuda say that we treat a tam stricter than a muad? Linyan shmira, strictly regarding the din of shmira, the ksivik kroy, because the pasuk teaches us that the din of shmira by a muad is stricter than the din of shmira by a tam. As Taisus, even by a muad, Rabbi Yehuda's the mandama. We've learned about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That Rabbi Yehuda holds that sad tamus b'mkayma amedus, that even a muad still retains its status of a tam. So why are we saying that even as far as this halach is concerned, the tam is stricter than a muad? Says Taisus, that's not a kasha. Because the tzad tamus is because it's a tam, not because it's a muad. And the Gemara here is contrasting the din of a tam and a muad. Says the Gemara, this proof that you're showing that a tam is stricter than a muad is not really a valid proof. Because in Shmira, the Ksiva Krah, aim of the Shamalei Rabbi Yehuda, where did Rabbi Yehuda say that we're going to treat the tam more stringently than the muad? Lin Yishmir, the Ksiva Krah, regarding this din that the Torah explicitly says so. However, Lin Yitashlumim Mishamitlei, do we have any precedent that as far as Tashlumim, a tam should be treated stricter than a muad? If anything, for Tanya, we learned just the opposite in a Braisa. Yud Oimer, Yochel, I would perhaps think, Shar Shava Mona, if there's an axe that's worth a mona, which is 100 zuz, Shinogach Shar Shava Chamesh Slime, that killed a shar that's worth 5 slime, which is 20 zuz. Venevele Yofa Sela, and the carcass is worth a sela, which is 4 zuz. So the damage is 4 slime, 16 zuz. The halach is, Zen Neutel Chatzi Achai Vechatzi Ameis. This, the mazik takes half the chai and chatz in the mace. V'zeh noitel chatzi chai v'chatzi amace. Amrit, you would think that that would be the case. Amrit, v'chimuad l'mayo. So it would turn out that the owner of the tam, the owner of the nizik, ended up doing pretty well today. He started with an animal that was worth entirely 20 zuz, and now he's going to end up owning half of an animal that's worth 100 zuz. So Rabbi Yehuda comments, V'chi muad l'ma yotza. Why did the Torah single out a muad versus a tam? L'hach ma'alav or l'haka alav? What was the purpose of the Torah? To treat the muad more stringently or more leniently? Have oima, certainly, l'hach ma'alav, to treat it more stringently. Or ma muad. So if by a muad, eidem shalom mela shahizik. Indeed a muad pays nezik shalom, but it doesn't pay more than nezik shalom. So in this case, if the animal doing damage were in the muad, the entire liability of the mazik would be 4 zuzim. Would be 4 sloim, 16 zuz. Now, tam akal, we're going to say that the animal that killed it was a tam, so he's going to pay more, lekolshke. So clearly, Rabbi Yehuda in this braisa is labeling a tam kal versus a muad. And he doesn't hold, and he holds that the owner of a tam has to pay less than the muad. So how do we say that the owner of the tam, that when the tam did damage, the mazik is responsible for the depreciation, whereas by a muad, he's not responsible for the depreciation? Ela Omer of Yochanan, Shvach Nevele Ikemenayu. The nafkamina is if the carcass goes up in value after it was killed. The Masover, Rameh holds, the Nizikava. Rameh's opinion is that the carcass belongs to the Nizik. We evaluate what the damage was, B'shas Nezek. The Mazik pays Chatzi Nezek. And if that carcass goes up in value, it's to the Nizik's benefit. Or Masover, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, palga, they shear if it goes up in value. There's actually a machloikis rishonim, how to do this evaluation. Rashi learns it as follows. If an animal that was worth $200 killed another animal that's worth $200, and at the moment of death, the carcass was worth $100, and then the carcass went up in value to $125. So the Mazik takes $10 of that appreciation. The Rambam, on the other hand, differentiates between if the tam was, if the Mazik was a tam versus if the Mazik was a muad. And he says that if the animal was, if the Mazik was a tam, he'll only be entitled to a quarter of the shvach because he only has to pay chatzi nezek. And if the animal was a muad, then he'll be entitled to half of the appreciation. Behainu. And now the Gemara says, we could understand the kakashla Rabbi Yehuda. We could understand what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Braisa. He says, Hash the Amrit, Chasrach Mana Elvay the Mazik. Now that we said that the Torah was kind to the Mazik, the Shokl B'Shvacha, that he's entitled to take depreciation of the carcass, so Yochel, we would think based on this. Shar Shavah Chamesh Sloim. If an axe which is worth 5 sloim, 20 zuz, Shnagach, Shar Shavah Mana, killed a shar that's worth a mana, which is 100 zuz. Then the veil yof chamishim zuz, and the veil is worth 50 zuz. Zed noitel chatzi achai v'chetze meis. The zed noitel chatzi achai v'chetze meis. Again, in this case, the mazik ends up profiting from this hezik, if that will be the din. Amr, to which Rabbi Yehuda says, heich metzinu, where do we find a precedent in halacha that a mazik nisker, that a mazik should end up profiting, shezen nisker, that we want to end up here in a situation where a mazik will end up profiting because his animal did damage. And furthermore, says Rabbi Yehuda, shalom yishalom, baalman mishalmim, it is always the responsibility of the axe, the owner of the axe who did damage, to pay, vein baalman noitlim, but they don't get profit. So now we've explained the machlokes of Rameya Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, now that we've explained Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that he's not entitled to profit, my va'omer, what does the pasuk mean with the word va'omer? V'hi tema, hani mi l'heichad ikka p'seid l'nizik, where do we say that we don't find the damage should profit in a case where the damaged party will lose? But in a case where there's no loss to the damaged party, and the Gemara gives an example, the axe was worth 5 sloim, which is 20 zuz, and it killed an animal worth 5 sloim to 20 zuz, but the value of the carcass goes up and it's worth 30 zuz. So the mazik maybe should get a share of the profit. And the Nizik's not losing anything, because the Nizik started with 20, and even if the Mazik shares with him in the appreciation of the shor, so he'll still end up with 25, which is more than he started up with. So therefore, I would perhaps consider the Shokl Naami Mazik B'Shivcha, the extra 10 zuz that the carcass went up in value should be divided between the Mazik and the Nizik. That's what the Braisa says, for mishalim yishalim, bailim mishalmi, vein bailim noitlim. The mazik only pays; he never uses a situation of hezek as an opportunity to make profit. We learned earlier on the bottom of Amud Aleph on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, the Rameya says when the pasuk says v'gam es hameis yechtzun, to teach that pasuk is teaching us that the nizik is reimbursed for the half. That it, for the chatzi nezek that he's entitled to through the sale of the shorachai. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, explained that the pasuk was teaching us that the mazik gets a share of the dead animal and he gets a share in depreciation. Amle Rav Chaba Tachlif L'Rava. In Kemetzin Rabbi Yehuda, Tam Shalom Yoytzi Mechazik. Yoytzer Mechatzi Nezek. We can end up with a situation where the tam pays up more than chatzi nezek, but Torah Omra Machros Hashar Chay v'chatzi is kasboy. He's only tied to chatzi nezek, and the case would be as follows: if an axe, which is worth 50 zuz, killed an ox which is worth 40 zuz, and the carcass is worth 20 zuz. So the damage is 20 zuz, half the damage is 10 zuz. If we now divide the live ox and the dead ox, everybody's going to end up with 35 zuz, because that's the current combined value, is 70 zuz. So the nizik will end up getting paid back for three quarters of his loss, because besides keeping the 20 zuz that his carcass is worth, he's also going to get 15 zuz towards the damages. So now, according to Rameya, the pasuk teaches us that in all circumstances, the nizik only gets chatzi nizik. But according to Yehuda, who doesn't explain the pasuk that way, are we going to end up in a situation where the nizik is going to get more than chatzi nizik? Answers Rava, Isla Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that they divide not only the live shor but also the dead shor. He agrees with Rameya that the nizik is only entitled to chatzi nezik. Menole, from where does Rabbi Yehuda learn that he's never entitled to more than chatzi nezik? He says, because the pasuk says v'gamas meisi yechtson. Ask the Gemara, how could Rabbi Yehuda use that pasuk to teach us that din? Didn't we just say that Rabbi Yehuda teaches that pasuk to teach us v'afkar Rabbi Yehuda lezen noitel chatzi achai v'chatzi ameis v'zen noitel chatzi achai v'chatzi ameis? Answers the Gemara, im kein nichta krov es hameis. Then the Torah should have used the regular word the es. Why did the Torah use my v'gam? Shema minotati, to teach us two halachas. One is that the nizik never gets more than chatzi nizik, and the other halach is that the mazik gets chatzi achai to chatzi hameis. Says the Gemara Mishnah, yesh chayv hameis sharoi upata hameis atma. There's sometimes where the axe will do damage and there'll be a liability, but not when the person does such an act. Or sometimes you'll be chai when you do it, but not when your axe does it. Ketzet. Shor is shabayish potter. A shor is potter for boishes. For who shabayish? But a person is chai for boishes. So the Rishonim ask, why does our Mishnah specify the obligation of boishes more than all the other obligations of Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Shevis? Why don't we point out Tzar, Ripui, Shevis, that the halach is that an animal is not chai for Tzar, Ripui, and Shevis? So one teretz that the Rishonim suggests is that Tzar, Ripui, Shevis travel together with Nezek. Our Mishnah is not teaching us that din. Another din, which will become clearer in our Gemara, is that in a case where a person intended to do Nezek, he's chai for boishes. But even in a case where a shor intended to do nezek, he will not be chayiv for boishes. And that's the point of the Mishnah, to show us that contrast. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, shor shesimus ein avdoi v'hipel shinoi. If a shor blinded his slave or knocked out his tooth, the halach is potter, he's not liable, he's not obligated to pay, and he's not obligated to set. If somebody's own shor knocked out the tooth or eye of one's eved, he's not obligated to pay, because the eved is his own property, nor is he obligated to set the eved free. For who should see ain after his hippol shinoi? But if he blinded the shor, his eved's eye blinded him or knocked out his tooth, he's obligated to set him free, as the Torah says. Shor shechava ba'aviv imay. If his animal wounded the owner's father or mother, chayiv, he will be obligated to pay for that damage. However, who shachal ba'aviv imay, if he chas v'shalom wounds one of his parents, he's potter. Why? Because we apply the concept, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, of kimlev d'rabbanei. Since he's chayiv mitza for this act, he's not going to be chayiv tashlumim. Shor shehidlik is a goddess for Shabbos. If a shor set fires to a stack of grain on Shabbos, chayiv, he's obligated to pay for it. V'hu shehidlik is a goddess for Shabbos, it's potter, neshu mischayiv benafshoi, he's chayiv miso for being mechal Shabbos. Ask the Mefarshim, isn't the case where somebody puts on a fire on Shabbos on his Gaddish, the Chiv Misa is for the first, is for the first stack of grain that got burnt for being Michal Shabbos, but the Chiv Tashlumin continues for all the grain that he burnt. So why is this considered a situation of Kimlei with Rabbi Menei? So some Rishonim say that since every, some Achronim say that since for every act of every God, of every stack that he burnt, there, he's doing an act for which there is a chiyuv misa, we apply the concept of kimla midrabbanei. Rabbi Kiva Eger says such a situation should not be viewed as separate acts, and therefore the first stack that got burnt, there's indeed a chiyuv misa and a chiyuv tashlumin. Rather, it's considered one long act of burning for which there's a chiyuv misa and a chiyuv tashlumim, and we say kimlei midrabbanei. But the Mefarshim ask that don't we apply the concept of the kimlei midrabbanei where both anshim are to the same individual? You're responsible to the same individual. Here, he's not responsible. The misa is to Shemayim because he was mechal Shabbos, and tashlumim is to the person whose Gaddish he burnt. Is that a case where we apply the concept of Kimlei B'Rabbanei? So some Rishonim say that the din of Kimlei B'Rabbanei always applies. It even applies in a case where the obligations stem from different parties. Others say, since the Chiv Misa is L'Shamayim, the person was Mechal Shabbos, that since it's the Chiv Misa is L'Shamayim, that the Shemayim encompasses everybody. And since it encompasses everyone, it's going to be a case of Kimlei B'Drabbanei.